Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for September 1st. First one of September. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I am joined by Pooya. How you doing, Pooya?
I'm good, Taryn. I'm good. Thanks for having me on this lovely Friday. Happy to kick the weekend off by talking. I'm trying to figure out with you, piecing it together, how someone may have won the HOH last night.
Yeah, I feel like that's a mystery that we can solve together. And I want to give Pooya credit because he is the most dependable guy. He's always here for me. If I need somebody, he's like, yes, I'm ready to go. So give Pooya some love.
I got you, man. Always got you. Always happy to be here. Happy to help everyone out. Get some knowledge out there. Laugh together and cry together. Let's do it.
I'm crying right now. All right, so let's get into this. We're going to be recapping everything that happened on the feeds yesterday, and we start out. You probably watched it last night. Matt was evicted. Can you believe it?
What, dude?
What?
What?
Why would you say that?
Oh my god, we got the age old question answered: cereal or Raven. He can say Raven all he wants. We both know he was really loving that cereal.
Yeah, I think so. We also had some information from Dan Giesling on Twitter. Apparently Matt was the one that he offered advice to before going into the house. And Matt was like, nah, I'm good. Probably because he had already gotten so much advice from Alex Kidwell that he was like, the expert has already told me what to do. And he followed through exactly how Alex told him to.
Yes. Redirect all of your praise / anger towards the sensei himself.
Yeah. So then we have obviously the rain delayed HOH competition, which was the stop and go. What was it called? Ready, set, go.
Ready, set, go. Yeah. Ready, set. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
So it's the one where they're, you know, in the starting blocks, and they gotta like there's a bunch of things that are like snow, blow, go, and then they race. As far as we're aware, there was no racing to be had in this competition because, you know, you look at this field and you're like, who's probably not going to win? Probably not Kevin, right? He's probably not the fastest person there. Definitely not Christmas, given that she has a broken foot and would have to hop to the button if they actually went on a race. But Pooya, who won this? What happens?
This is a story all about how someone with a broken leg won somehow. Against all odds, Christmas won this competition. And I love the chat right now. Ready, set, throw, because that's exactly what happened. Christmas against all odds. Like, for me, maybe the throwing aspect, I could see that coming for sure. What I don't understand is, how did they clear her to do this? Like, why would they clear her to do this? It's like the one competition, right, where you're looking at it and it's like, no, even on technicality, like, she can't put two legs together and run. So why was she cleared? Who knows?
I guess they told her, like, yeah, you can hop, but you'll probably lose. And she was like, you think I'll lose? Just wait. You know, because when she stayed in the game after she broke her foot, she was like, I want to, like, prove that, like, I can overcome these odds. And I think this is really an inspirational story that even somebody with a broken leg can win a sprinting competition.
If she can win this, you can do anything if you put your mind to it.
It's true.
And have people around that'll throw it for you.
Yeah. apparently what happened was, and I said this on the recap last night, that they had this order in which people would throw the competition. I don't think they like talked through the exact order in which it happened, but I believe Kevin went first, as Paul instructed him to. And then Raven threw it, which allowed Alex to throw it. And then Paul and Josh threw it to Christmas. Again, they didn't even have a single race.
No. It's we're going to see how it shows up on the edit. The one takeaway from this competition that I've heard outside of anything else is Kevin really not wanting to throw this, and specifically, according to Paul, not wanting to throw it to a female. And then to which Paul has loved this story, because Paul has brought this up about 3-4 times last night to different people, reiterating that he told Kevin, if you don't do this, I will go for the win and we will take you out. And at that point, Kevin was like, fine, okay, fine, no problem, throws it. But the order you went with, pretty much exactly the same. The one place you went wrong last night, Taryn, was being so certain that Christmas would not win this.
Yeah,
that's your one fault.
Yeah, I was like, well, they're gonna all throw it to Josh, who would have been the person they threw it to, assuming Christmas couldn't compete, because I assumed Christmas couldn't compete. But yeah, you know, we going into the HOH competition, we knew that Paul was trying to get Kevin to not throw or to throw the HOH competition, but Kevin did not want to. He told us that he was not going to throw the competition, but I guess Paul sniffed that out. He went to Paul and probably gave him this excuse of like, dude, I can't throw this to a girl. Like, that's why I can't throw this competition. And then Paul really like went over the top and threatened him, like, no, you were going to throw this, or I'm going to put you up on the block. At which point Kevin said, all right, especially once he looks at this competition and realizes that there's no way he's going to win anyway. He's probably like, yeah, I'll just throw this, obviously. It's probably his best move at that point. But still, would have been great to see a Kevin win. So yeah, Christmas, winner of the HOH. And Paul is already planning the next HOH.
Paul, classic Paul. Pretty much had a conversation with everybody last night, one by one, this room, that room. And he's kind of set it up really well. First things first, he goes up to Christmas and says, well, are you going to be afraid to take the shot? She's like, I'm not going to be afraid. And he's stoked on that. Then they spend a little bit of time trying to figure out what's the reasoning they're going to use to put up Jalex, and how is she going to put the spotlight on Jason for being the target. And then she said, I have many reasons, and believe it or not, none of them have to do with my foot. I said, well, they better not, because you want a racing competition without the foot. So so as of right now, everything's moving up. Paul, Jason, Alex on the block, Jason clear target.
Yeah. And, you know, again, right away, like Kevin is talking to Paul on Christmas, like, hey, I just made a fool of myself and I threw that for you guys. I better be able to trust you. And they're like, don't worry. There's a plan in place. You got to have faith. He's like, okay. Then we have Alex. You know, mastermind, genius Alex. She's really been running this game up until this point. Masterful move to throw this HOH. And she's telling Paul that I want to be nominated next to Kevin. So, you know, even if she wasn't the target, she is going up on the block next to somebody who can't win anything, which is obviously a genius move.
Yeah, no, she is incredibly smart. She is the one person that mathematically has decided it doesn't matter. Everyone plays veto this week, which one person won't. But she still also, you know, applies to go up as a pawn next to Kevin, which yeah, we both know this is not going to end well. She's going on the block no matter what. Jason is going on the block for sure. He just doesn't know it yet. And they're going to be sitting next to each other. So we'll see how angry these two are going to get. And then we can hopefully compare them to Matt Raven from last week.
Yeah, so the plan, the ultimate plan is, as you mentioned, Christmas is saying there's no point in any sort of like subterfuge. Well, I'm going to put them up on the block. It's going to be obvious at nominations, and I'm going to make it clear that Jason is my target, and we're just going to go from there. And so Paul, he obviously wants to add some subterfuge on top of that. He says, okay, so what I'll do is I'll go up to Jason and Alex after this and go, oh my God, I think she's trying to backdoor me right now. She's been getting close to me, so I wouldn't think it was going to happen. But obviously, if she's putting you two on the block, the plan is to backdoor me. So if one of you win the veto, I'll go up. This is his way of being like, oh, I wasn't in on that plan, obviously, because I think I'm getting backdoored. And again, like normally I'd say probably not going to work, but we're talking about Alex here, so it's probably going to work.
Yeah. I mean, Paul's very, very, very sharp by doing this. And like, Josh has sussed this out before. We're like, why is Paul doing these side things? Why is Paul going about and getting these things going? Josh is still also very pro this plan. It doesn't look like anything's going to come in Paul's way of selling this and spinning this to Jason and Alex. And they've, him and Christmas have already laid down the plans of like trying to act paranoid and trying to keep away and not really talk, to kind of like amp this up a little bit. So they're going to be selling it and it's going to work hook, line, and sinker. And this is a great way for Paul to go about it, because in the event that Jason or Alex do win the veto, they're angry. They're not going to look at Paul. They're not going to blame Paul for any of this. They're going to go directly after Christmas, Josh. And I mean, Kevin is still such a big scapegoat for everything that's going on in the house. Still, we will get to the big conversation they had last night of which occupation does Kevin have, which will come up.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, just think about this, guys, right? Last week we had Jason as the HOH, and the plan was, I'm going to put up Matt and Raven with the pretend plan to backdoor Kevin, and then Paul is going to pretend he had nothing to do with it. This week, Christmas is HOH, and the plan is to put up Jason and Alex, and Paul had nothing to do with it. It's the exact same plan he just executed with the people he's now pulling it on. If it works, like, it's unbelievable that he's able to bounce back and forth with the exact same thing. Like, why would they let him do this? Why would they buy it? It's insane to me.
They've just been able to be convinced that no matter what happens, Paul is with them. So every subset in the house is looking at him as, he's our third. He's taking us that we're going to the end with him. It's all Gucci. But I mean, he's just able to maneuver these ways. And more and more every week, we're not learning that Paul is amazing, because we're already like, he's already been putting the steps in for that. We're realizing how much more stupid the others are. And the closer we're getting to September 20th, the more astounding it is how he's able to walk this tightrope flawlessly.
Yeah.
Flawlessly.
I mean, these people are going to be going to the jury house to to everyone who's like, wow, it's big Paul. And they're going to be going to the jury house like, man, Paul, he tried to save me, but he just didn't have enough control in the house. And they're going to laugh in their face and be like, you idiot. Like, he did this to you. And every single time, it's going to come back and they're going to be like, you just did that with him. And then he did it to you and you bought it. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
You don't need to look further by looking at just a couple subtle things from last night. Raven now has her friendship bracelet back on. She's yelling out Paven, which, shoot me. And then Josh has said, well, like, Josh and Paul had this conversation where Paul said, well, if I go up in the next 2 weeks, no matter what, like, I'm kind of screwed. I'm going to be looked at as a target. And then Josh said, no, bro, no matter what happens, I will talk them down of it. I will go up as a pawn to make sure you don't have to. And like, Josh is the one person we've said has these reads. Maybe he's doing it a little bit more Steve Moses-ish, where he wants to get further down before he like does something about it. But I mean, that's still something, a gesture he's willing. That's still him putting his own life on jeopardy by getting on that block to appease Paul. So everything's moving up, Paul. Everything's going smooth for this guy. Adversity, what?
Yeah. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And I mean, when we're talking about Josh, like, it's hard to tell, because, you know, Paul is saying, if I go up on the block, then they're gonna take a shot at me. I'm gonna go home. And so Josh is like, oh no, I'd go up on the block for you. But we know that Josh has been somewhat skeptical of what Paul's been doing. But at the same time, he's also been very vocal about being loyal to Paul and trusting Paul. So it's hard to tell whether this is Josh kind of playing up his loyalty or if it's genuine. I think with Christmas and with Raven, it's genuine. With Josh, I'm not entirely sure. And honestly,
yeah,
it could be a thing where he is genuine in this moment and then he will be genuine tomorrow when he's like, I'm doubting Paul, and he's just going back and forth.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit brain fart-esque, where he's just kind of sitting there. He's kind of brainstorming things, speaking out aloud. Maybe some of it's not really registering. Like, he seems like, I did watch him, like, really break it down for 2 minutes of how Paul, why, if he's with us, like, why is he making all these side deals? Like, he does, it's not necessary. Like, he's got us. Why is he working them? Probably for jury votes, probably to work with them later. Like, he's kind of piecing them together. It's just not quite evident if these are things that he's piecing together and then leaving up on his mental corkboard, or if he's just kind of like doodling these on a notebook in his mind and then just tossing, crumpling it up and throwing it in the bin because he knows, nah, I'm just being ridiculous. Like, he's with me. The closer we're going to get to the end, the more clear it'll be. And the fact that we're so close to the end, it's just one of those things where he might have an opportunity, but he might not take it, and then he won't have a chance for another one again. So we'll see. Like, the thing is, we'll see when he gets HOH, whenever that may be, if that may be. We'll see how he does then.
Yeah. And like, also, like, I think it's interesting just the way this is happening, and the fact that these people will be going out of the house and into the jury house believing that Paul is loyal to them. I've talked with Brent about this, but I do think it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how they react. You know, Matt going into the jury house being like, yeah, I stayed loyal to Raven and Paul. They're going to take it to the end. And you know that Cody and Mark and Elena are going to be like, you idiot. Paul was playing you. He obviously, like, Paul has way more control than anyone in that house. You think he couldn't have saved you? Like, you're a dummy. Like, how is Matt going to react to that? Like, I mean, he'll probably be like, what? What are you talking about? How could you say that? What are you?
Yeah, so, like, I agree with you 100%. I think it's going to get interesting with the jury aspect of it all, because you're looking at it, and sometimes, like, let's say this. Let's put it this way. So if one of your close friends steals a tenner from your table and then later tells you, listen, man, like, I just had needed this, I took it from you, you can forgive them, right? But if one of your friends takes a tenner and then someone you hate is telling you that they took it, and then you find out that the person you hate is the one that was more honest with you, that might turn you a little salty, just a little bit bitter. And I mean, the court, like, we've completely unleashed Matt now. Matt's like this weird, like, squeaky voice, like, angry man now. So maybe that lid's already popped off, and the jury / Cody, Elena, Mark telling him that he was messed with, telling him that he got played, will not only piss him off, but then once he, like, hears that, the glass is shattered, and he starts seeing people that he did not expect to come into the jury one by one following him, it might turn him bitter. It could happen. We'll see.
Yes, Scott is asking, what is a tenor? And I believe that's actually, it's the kind of vocal ability that Matt has, very high pitch. What? That's what a tenor is. You sing that way. Yes, $10.
Yes, exactly.
Then we have Paul solidifies his relationship with Kevin again. It's like, we're in this together. We gave each other our words week one. Everything's all good. Paul, again, just like, he's really trying to make sure that he has Kevin, especially now that he plans on taking him further down in the game. He wants to make sure that once he takes Jason out, he will be able to retain his loyalty. The problem is, Kevin wants Alex out before Jason. As much as Kevin has sort of been soured on Jason, he really doesn't want Jason to go yet. And he's not Alex, right? Like, he's not going to be easily convinced that, like, no, it's better for you that you take Jason out first. He's going to be kind of annoyed.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is, Kevin has been one of these guys that has voted against the grain, whether it was to be hinky, whether he was set up to it to, like, do that specifically. Kevin's done that before, and he's not scared of going against a majority vote. And I think in the back of his mind, first of all, even though he made it very clear, he knows that Jason's not with him. Jason's kind of talked to him and said, like, I'm cutting with you. I mean, he's got to know that if Alex is the one that goes, he gets to keep Jason to himself. So he has that buddy. He has his walking mate every morning, every evening. So that's something to consider for him. And I mean, the fact that, again, we also go back to the fact that Alex has been pretty shitty to him the entire past how many weeks? More so than others. Not that others have been very nice to him, but, like, Alex has been the one to amplify it and to, like, have caused feats to get cut about this. So I understand why. I definitely see why he, and I think he also knows that it's probably foregone that Jason is the target. If they're both on the block at the end of the week, Jason's more than likely going. But it was also another thing to consider is he likes Jason. He can't help but be like friends with him still. He's going to want to give him that one vote, that kind of like solidify some kind of good jury with him. I don't know. With Kevin, I feel like there's like part emotion, but I also can't help but feel like he kind of is understanding what he needs to do. It, like, he's a nice guy and he talks to people as they're about to go out the door. And I think that's his like niceties and genuine part of him that's happening. But at the same time, it's good management. And while other people have noticed it, maybe we see someone like Paul, like really put his foot down and be like, no, Kevin, I promised you, I'm with you. We were together from day one. I gave you my word. You gave me yours. I need you to do this for me. Similar to how he made him throw the HOH. Maybe he really tries to pump Kevin to like point him to that direction. But for all intents and purposes, all the evidence in front of us, it really adds up as to why Kevin would vote Alex out over Jason.
Yeah. And this is really going to come down to the veto. Jason will need to win this veto if he wants to stay. Theoretically, Kevin could win it and use it on Jason. But I think the chances of Kevin winning it are probably pretty slim. And, there's even a chance that he might not use it on Jason if he thinks that Alex is going to go. He might not want to piss people off. So Jason really needs to win it, and then Alex can go and we can be much happier. And here's the thing too. They're worried about, Jason and Kevin teaming up, but man, it's, Jason is not the greatest at these quiz competitions that will be coming up very shortly, especially we've got a double eviction coming up soon. I'm not sure that they need to be as worried about Jason as they are, especially if he's teaming up with Kevin, who's also terrible at competitions. But obviously, Paul has more control over Alex, so it's much better for Paul if, even if she's good at competitions and she wins some, he can basically direct her in any which way that he wants. So it's better for him there. But he's being able to convince other people who might be better off with Alex gone that it's better for Jason to go. But I made my call. I want Alex to go this week. I want Jason to win the veto. That would be much better for me.
Yeah, and I think the nail in the coffin for the spin that Paul's able to put in. I mean, we talked about this last week. Jason won both competitions. Right? Like, Jason's been the more recent winner of competitions than Alex. Alex has not been in that HOH room as the HOH making moves for like a hot second. So that's enough of a, like recency bias for you, for them to be like, well, Jason's just killing it. And you're right. The competitions are going to get more mental, and Whistlenut is called Whistlenut. Like, he is not, he's not going to be like cracking the case anytime soon. So, and then you put him together with Kevin. Again, that's a duo that's not really harmful. So I think it's just one of those things where they're like better safe than sorry. And the fact of the matter is Paul has better hold on Alex than he will ever on Jason. Yeah. So what Paul wants, Paul will get right now.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Even these veto competitions, probably not suited for Jason in particular. Somebody mentioned comic books we might be getting pretty soon, which Paul will probably win. And so we probably will see Jason go. But there is, if we're going to be prognosticating the week and then the double eviction from now, it's obviously Alex and Jason are going to go up in the block. Chances are Jason is not going to win this veto. He's probably going to go home. We're going to go into the double eviction. Alex, I have to imagine that even if Paul is able to be like, there's no way Paul can convince Alex not to try to win the double eviction HOH after Jason goes home. At the very least, she has to be worried and or be wanting to go after Christmas and Josh for turning on them. So she will be trying. It'll probably be a quiz competition, which she'll probably be pretty good at. So we could see an Alex win there, targeting Josh and Christmas, but she also still hates Kevin, so Paul could probably switch her over to Kevin if he needed to, but that would be a little bit of a wrinkle in Paul's plans. Actually, it might be the best thing for Paul, because then he'll get to keep Raven. So there's really not a whole lot that can happen here. Obviously Alex will be the target going into the double eviction. If she wins the veto, that could cause some issues because I think Paul wants to keep Raven over Kevin, but he's talked to Christmas and Josh about keeping Kevin over Raven. So he might not have enough time to switch that over, which could leave him in a vulnerable position moving forward to the end game. That could really be a game ending mistake for him if he lets Raven go home, because she is such a key element to just like total domination in this game, because she's willing to take him to the end and lose to him. Lots of stuff to think about in terms of the double eviction, but again, probably nothing that's too major in terms of like losing Paul or anything like that.
Yeah, and I think I can speak for all of us here right now that we just don't want to fast forward to Thursday and see the final two in the questions comp be Raven and Alex again. That would be a nightmare again. But no, you're right, Taryn, you're right. It's just Alex would have to win the veto at that point to like make sure she stays. But other than that, it's pretty clear cut that Jason will be the target now. Alex is the target for the double. And outside of something happening with Raven being targeted on the block and going, Paul's pretty much laid himself out very well to make it to the final five.
Yes, and you know, the plan for HOHs has not changed. He wants Josh or Raven to win the next one, and then you know, so on and so forth. He'll win the important ones and make the key decisions. And they're all okay with it. So they talked about the tree of temptation with the apples and Raven and Christmas. They don't think anyone's going to be taking any because obviously Alex and Jason still feel pretty comfortable thinking that Kevin is the target. Kevin is being reassured that he is not the target. So we're having a situation where, again, the target does not know they're the target, so much so that they don't even consider taking an apple. I think this will be definitely something that goes down as one of the least effective twists they've had in the show with the takeovers and the saboteur.
Yeah, pretty big flop. The thing I'm surprised about is why wouldn't they have put this so that you can pick the apple before veto? Like, the fact that it's before noms has made it so that you have, if you keep them in the dark long enough, no one's going to go for them. And then after the fact, if it was going to cause a wrinkle, that's when it's going to happen. So it's just surprising to me that that wasn't considered, especially because, like, the second veto, the bounty, not competing in the next HOH, none of these would have, none of these need to be, like, cleared up before noms or before, after veto. Like, it should be fine. So I don't know. I'm okay with it. I mean, it's kind of keeping it same, which is, you know, fine with me. Some of these wrinkles might really not do anything to begin with anyways. We saw one get picked and save a friend was nothing. The only exciting ones at this point, in my opinion, would be the double veto. And then if, let's say, someone picks it and can't play the next HOH, on both of these scenarios, I'm talking Alex or Jason, but this is with imagining that they know they're going up, so they would be picking it.
Yeah.
And then it would be also interesting if Alex picked it and then got the bounty one, and then Christmas might try and get Alex out instead of Jason. Like, there's a couple of interesting things that could have happened, but the fact of the matter is, because of how well they've been able to keep these people in the dark, no one's going to pick them, and it's just going to go by the wayside, and we're not going to see it again.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're, I mean, the one temptation really that needed to be done before nominations was the save a friend. And it's like, that's probably why they had it before. And man, it's more like examples of like, they just don't think these twists through enough, where it's like, because like people will often say, I'm anti-twist. Like, Taryn hates twists. He hates all twists. And I do, for the most part. But the reason why is because they're all terrible twists. Like, it's very difficult to find a well-balanced twist. It's just like, you need to think these things through more. And if it, like, there's a way to introduce twists into the game that are well-balanced and that won't like affect like gameplay in a negative way, and that won't like screw people over in a negative way. Like, there are good twists to be had. They're just not interested in coming up with them. They're not game designers. They're TV show producers. And they think that they're doing this, like, this is a great, like, you can tell they're TV producers, because like, It's like the tree of temptation. Take an apple. Like the whole concept of the temptation, like it'll make for great TV. Like, oh, you think you're going to get something good and then you don't. And then boom. And they don't think about the game consequences, but like the game mechanics are so important to your show and you don't recognize that. And it's just like, we really need them like to hire like a game mechanic person, right? Like it's got to happen.
Yeah, just bring 12 people into a room, sit them down, and then make them for the next 6 hours play a make-believe version, almost like a board game version, where like you have all these twists that you're laying out, and just watch how they happen, watch how they go along. But then the fact of the matter is, they need to also consider the fact that it's the rifts and the social dynamics switching up with the twists that is what make the twist more impactful for the audience and for the show itself, for the entertainment factor. Not so much what the twist is or how big it is. That usually isn't as important, in my opinion, at least. But what do I know? I'm not a producer. I'm not Kevin.
Yeah. Lacey, you know, people are saying I'm applying. No, get Eric Stein on this. Eric Stein knows what's up.
He just spent 2 hours talking to Taryn about all this. Check it out. It's a good time.
Yes, exactly. See, I feel like it's unfortunate that Eric went on Big Brother and had not the greatest relationship with production, because I feel like they could really use his help with this kind of stuff. All right. So they also, Raven and Christmas, they also agree. They're pretty sure that Alex threw that competition. I think Alex said she was going to be throwing it going into the competition. Raven and Christmas think it seemed pretty obvious that she did throw the competition. I think we can say pretty safely for now that Alex has thrown this competition. She may go home this week because of it. I think that's wonderful. At the very least, her closest ally will go home. This is like just becoming a common occurrence. Like when it happened to Matt Hoffman in season 11, where it was like he was throwing HOH competitions and like very obviously, and then he ends up getting in trouble for it, or not for it, but because he didn't win. It's like, oh wow, can you believe it? Or like when Jordan throws the veto competition, it's like, what, he did that? Now it's just like, it's completely expected from this cast that they'd throw competitions that they needed to win.
Right. And I mean, the funny thing is, so like we bring up,
I said 11. Beloved, God, I'm so sorry. It's 12.
How dare you? So the thing is, Taryn, like with someone like JP, you know, he does all that. He threw it and then he gets bamboozled. But like for me, it's like you look at someone like Alex and she should know. She should simply, you know, go flashback in her mind and kind of realize, I've won a lot of these competitions. None of these people have won that many. I'm looking like I'm on the podium right now. If this was the Olympics, I'm either first, second, or third. And that's very clear to these people. Why would they want to take a shot at Kevin, who's won nothing, when they could take a shot at me? If I'm king of the hill, why won't you want to usurp me? Like, it's just one of those things where it's like you're cocky and it's irritating, but you're also not cocky to your own benefit. You're just cocky to be cocky. So like just not putting these pieces together really shows their weaknesses and their flaws in thinking for themselves and just thinking game speak, you know? And we might see it happen. And, you know, as you've said, as I say, as everyone in the chat probably would imagine agreeing with us, I hope Alex goes. I really do.
Leslie in the chat says, please let Alex go to the nomination ceremony with her petty hat on, like ready to be mean to Kevin, only to get her and Jason put up on the block. That would be pretty wonderful. You got to appreciate the little things on Big Brother 19, and that would be one of them.
Yep. That's the way to go, man. That's the way to go at this point.
We also have Josh talking to Jason, misleading him, saying Kevin is our target. He's trying to turn people against each other. He's going after Alex. We need to get Kevin out this week. They are really setting them up for a big blindside on the nomination ceremony.
Yeah, both of them. They know Alex is going up because Alex has volunteered, as we said earlier. But Jason has no idea. Christmas is going to make it clear that he is the trustor. Not only is he going up, he's also going to be called out as the target. We might see fireworks. It could get crazy. So sit down, grab a coffee, and enjoy what's about to happen today.
Yes, Dominic in the chat says, misleading meatball. That could be a twist, right? It's not the alliteration. The plan also, if Alex or Jason wins the veto, Kevin, despite being promised, will go up as the replacement as of right now. So Kevin's not going to be too happy about the fact that Jason is going before Alex, and he definitely won't be happy if he gets put up on the block as a replacement pawn. But as far as we know, there's no chance Kevin really goes home here. It will definitely be Alex or Jason going home this week, unless something completely major happens like it would on any normal Big Brother season and things change. But that hasn't happened all season long, so we don't expect it to start now.
We have no reason to assume that right now. Yeah, you're right.
So then we also have Kevin talking to Christmas, telling Christmas, look, you and Paul are the only people that haven't turned your back on me. Like, even Jason now is saying, we can't be together anymore. I gotta say this in Kevin's. He's chasing. We can't be together. He's telling me we can't be together anymore. Like, why is he doing this to me? I just want to be with him. I just want to touch him. Jason is being so mean to him. Kevin, he's recognizing that Jason has kind of turned his back. And I think part of this is actually, I do think Kevin has a little bit of strategery going on here. I think he does feel like he still has a decent relationship.
Exactly what Paul is doing, but Paul was talking to Josh and saying, like, I'm just going to pretend to be annoyed with you a little longer. They will never assume it. It goes to be the same way where Kevin is, you know, putting this rift. I think he's genuinely upset. I still do. But it goes back to what I said earlier, where, like, he's genuine and he's nice, but then there's also game implications that can be extracted from his actions. And I think this is one of those where he knows he's going to be fine with Jason. If he distances himself from Jason, he's a lot more in good graces with these guys. But also simultaneously, if for some reason Jason wins the veto and Alex is gone, he still knows that then, well, Jason will be with me, right? Because Alex isn't here. And he said he'd have to choose between us. He's picking her. If she's not here, he's picking me, right? Like, that's got to be where it goes. So you're right. I think there's definitely implications that can be made from what he's saying or doing right now.
Yes. So that's our update for today. You had the talk about Kevin's job. Yes. Tell us about this.
Yeah. So there were four jobs that were laid out last night in this conversation between Josh, Alex, and Jason as to what it is that Kevin does. So for some reason, Alex, and this was really hilarious to me. So Alex was like, he's a producer, right? He said something about, like, seeing movies for free, right? And then Jason's like, you know, I think he just, like, says he gets free movies because he goes to the movies a lot. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. He's a frequent, like, watcher. But then it goes on, and then Jason says, no, I think he's a school teacher. And then they talk about him being an undercover cop again. And Josh says, no, man, he couldn't have been talking about giving us those stories if he was an undercover cop. Like, he wouldn't have lost his cool to Josh if he was an undercover cop. So they're doing what they did with Donnie in 16, where, like, everyone's convinced there's more to this guy than meets the eye, when in fact there really isn't. He's just a good storyteller and he's seen some things, but we're just making it seem to be a lot more than it is, and that he's an actor. And there was something along the lines of, Josh said, I asked him if he was in movies and he said he was in soap operas. They're just trying to grasp at anything here, and it's pretty hilarious. And then Kevin walks in and says, well, can you leave the light on? Like, can you leave the light on? And just walks away. And then they start bashing him on that. Well, why is he asking us to do that? That makes no sense. Yes. So essentially, to recap, producer, actor, undercover cop, and school teacher, Kevin can truly do it all.
Yes. Stephanie in the chat says, he's an undercover cop as a school teacher on a TV show as a producer.
Crack the case.
I couldn't really follow that, but maybe you could. So that's our update for today. You know, it's funny because normally these Friday updates, there's usually, it's like, well, somebody crazy won HOH. What are their plans? We don't know until the Friday morning update. But these days it's like, well, we knew exactly what was going to happen based on, like, who won HOH, and we already knew who was going to win HOH for the most part. So it's all, like, set in stone. There's not really a whole lot to update you on. But then it's actually, it goes so far in the other direction that we're able to then, like, on these Friday updates, predict the next, like, week and a half because it's also set in stone. So no matter what, Friday updates have a lot of information for you. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow at noon Eastern to update you on everything that's going on the feeds. Yes, Liana will almost assuredly be with me for Liana Saturdays. And of course, make sure you check out my awesome interview with Melissa Denny on The Taran Show. And then Sunday night, we will be live to recap the nomination episode of Big Brother. And check out the American Ninja Warrior stuff. We just released a podcast with Megan Martin, one of the star athletes of the show. And the Vegas finals are going to be starting up this week. So Monday will be the start of the Vegas finals. I went to those finals in Vegas with my co-host Lita. So there's going to be lots of fun to be had there. Even if you haven't watched the entire season, this is the exciting part of the show. It's the finals. You can start here. It's all good. So check that stuff out as well. So yes, thank you everyone for joining us. Take care. Goodbye.